I'm John Matthews, and the Ferndale Enterprise alerted me to this unfortunate story about a player from McClymonds High School who says that someone from the sidelines at a recent Ferndale game yelled something racist towards him, and he was upset by this. And over the last couple of days, I have spoken to the coach of the McClymonds team and also Tag Wallerspoon. He covers the games for Ferndale and works here in the building over on the Point. And then yesterday, I spoke with Mike Martin. He is someone who was in the vicinity of this, and he actually said something to the player, but he is saying that nothing racist was said. And where we are right now, that's essentially it. The people who are on the sidelines are saying that nothing racist was said. The player says something racist was said. And I don't know. And the grandfather of the player, he wrote a letter to the Ferndale Enterprise, and he says that what happened at the time of the incident, he was too far away to hear what happened, but after the game, his grandson told him that the Ferndale fan or fans had said words to the effect of, "Get up, you effing N, and take your N-A back to Oakland," and he is certain that this happened. And through the Lost Coast Outpost, which is a website that's produced here in the building, Hank Sims points out that Mike Martin, described here as one of the Ferndale superfans, he roams the sidelines. He said yesterday when I spoke to him, you can listen to a recording of that interview yesterday, he's saying that the student invented the idea of this racist taunt to cover for the fact that he grew angry after missing a play. And on the phone now is the grandfather. He is an attorney, a lawyer, based down in San Francisco, Stephen Walters. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, John.
You listened to Mike Martin yesterday, and what was your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction was that it sounded like a story that was concocted to cover the actions of the folks on the sideline. It's as simple as that. There were any number of holes in that story that just don't make any sense whatsoever, and I think it's sad and unfortunate.
What were the holes?
Well, how long do we have, John?
We have, well, let's just figure it out.
Okay. First of all, Mr. Martin admitted that the super fans on the sidelines taunt players on other high school teams. He seemed kind of proud of that and was pretty adamant in his responses to your questions that, gee, that's really okay. He just says that they never go over the line, they never make racial, and for some reason he kept saying sexual slurs to players. He says that despite the fact that it's pretty well confirmed from folks who have called me after I wrote my letter that there was a similar incident at Salesian last year when Ferndale played down there, and others in the media have called me and acknowledged that this isn't the first, and Salesian wasn't the first type of incident. So the suggestion that, sure, we taunt players, but we don't go over the line is sort of in the category of, come on. He admits that they taunted my grandson, after that play. They just say that, they didn't use racial epithets. I would point out a couple of things that in the first place, the words that they said they used really don't make any sense. Keep your head down. You're going home. This isn't a playoff game. This is just a football game. And those things don't make any sense. And they sound as if it was sort of designed to try to fit the things that my grandson said, but to change it somewhat. Mr. Martin pointed out that his friend, Stacy Townsend, when my grandson started yelling, put up his hands and said, "It wasn't me, it wasn't me." And Mr. Martin emphasized that several times. Well, if these were just innocent taunts and didn't amount to anything, why was he saying, "Not me"? Why weren't these guys saying to him, "Number seven, you're out of line. You need to get off the field. Again, just his description of what supposedly happened doesn't make any sense at all. Mr. Martin says that my grandson, who is 5'10", 175 pounds, 250 miles from home, standing by himself on the sideline, was threatening this group of adult males, Ferndale superfans, and saying, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you, which doesn't make any sense at all, that a young man would make those sort of threats, standing with this group of adults who are clearly hostile to him. Mr. Martin said, well, gee, there was no reaction by the McClymans, other players on the McClymans team. That play was a one-on-one play in the end zone. There were no other players from either team within 30 yards of the play. As Mr. Martin said several times, well, gee, the crowd gets loud. They had just scored, Ferndale had just scored a touchdown, and there is no way that anybody who was not there, right there, could have heard. And I think it's pretty clear that these taunts were intended for him, just as Mr. Martin admitted, but he simply didn't admit the substance of what really happened. And frankly, to me, the most telling fact is the reaction of the officials. I've talked to a couple people who have spoken to the officials since then, Principal Lakin from Ferndale High and Caroline Titus of the Enterprise, and all the officials have said to them, well, we didn't hear just what words were used. They didn't deny that it happened. They didn't deny that epithets were used. They never said to my grandson, and no one has ever suggested, the officials said to my grandson, you're out of line. Supposedly he is standing there cussing out and threatening fans on the sideline, but they didn't say, get off the field or we'll throw you out of the game. They didn't throw a flag. They didn't come over to the coaches and said, you need to calm that kid down or we're going to have to toss him out of the game. That reaction by the officials speaks volumes about what actually happened. Now, Mr. Martin said, well, gee, they would have thrown a flag on Ferndale if that had really happened. The reality is, I don't know what the officials actually heard. I think that they may have been shocked what they heard or weren't sure that they heard exactly what was said. Again, as Mr. Martin admits, the crowd was loud. Ferndale had just scored a touchdown. But one thing that I think Coach McCauley pointed out in your interview of him was that they had already called a sideline penalty on Ferndale, and it was for an assistant coach who was out of the box that he was supposed to be in. If they'd thrown another flag, they would have had to toss out Coach Jorgensen, which I'm sure they didn't want to do, and appropriately enough, it wasn't him. And by all accounts, he runs an excellent program and is a fine man. But I could certainly understand if the officials just wanted to de-escalate a situation and get the player off the field without making things even worse by having to eject the Ferndale coach. I mean, that's kind of off the top of my head, John. But those are just some of the holes that I find in that story. It just it just does not add up and doesn't make any sense at all.
As a lawyer, do you do well in court? You really do make a convincing argument.
I win.
You do okay?
Cases. Okay. Yeah, I've tried over 100 cases, and I've
like
lost
it.
Fewer than 10.
I like it. But the problem, of course, is that it's their word against his word, and that obviously is where the problem exists, because I just don't know. And I mean, again, it's a convincing argument that you make, and I have a problem, I think, with the way that, it's being handled in my mind, because, of course, there's just no way that someone will accuse me of racism. I mean, perhaps, who knows, I'll appear in the future. It could happen one day, but it seems so unlikely to me, because I believe that I could convince them, like, hey, I'm sorry, this is what I meant, this was my intent, this is what happened. I would reach out to that person, and then I would fix it. I know I could do that. I guarantee it. So I've been disappointed by the way this has played out over the last couple of days and week and a half or so, just because it would have been nice if Mike had come on today. And as you know, yesterday I suggested that I would have your grandson on as well, which was ill-conceived, and I'm aware of that. My plan yesterday was to have the player on, and then also Mike Martin, so we could sort of work it out. But clearly, your grandson is a young man, and it would have been inappropriate to do that. Right. And I was aware of that.
That's why I reached out to you and said that wouldn't be appropriate. But I would be very glad to talk to you. And I agree with you. I'm very, very disappointed that Mr. Martin declined your invitation to come on this morning and have a dialogue. I think that speaks volumes about the situation and what really happened.
Well, his position was that he had said everything that he needed to say yesterday, and again, I disagree in the sense that I would have pressed on just to sort of fix it myself. Sure. So are you convinced that this happened? That what you stated in your letter to the Ferndale Enterprise actually happened? I mean, are you 100% on that?
I've never been 100% on everything in my life, but I can say 99%. As I said in my letter, John, I am certain that this happened. And quite honestly, listening to Mr. Martin and what he said happened, as supposedly as a witness to this, convinces me even more that it really did happen. And not to mention the things that I learned after I wrote the letter about the incident at Salesian and the fact that members of the media from Ferndale who've reached out to me have told me Salesian wasn't the first incident of that sort. Quite honestly, I mean, this is something you seized on yesterday, and I think appropriately so. Mr. Martin was admitting that these super fans, I guess you call them, stand on the sideline and taunt teenagers at football games, which it is stunning to me that they do that. And then he was defending it and saying, well, gee whiz, it's just like chatter at a Little League game. I mean, that's something that really does convince me. And I'll tell you quite honestly, one of the things I observed at the Ferndale High School game, which shocked me somewhat, pickup truck in the parking lot, a white pickup truck with a Confederate flag in the rear window. You're playing a team from Oakland. You know they're mostly African American. That's 100% African American. And you show up in a truck like that. Again, I think speaks volumes about whether or not it happened or didn't. I'm certain that it happened.
Oh, that's terrible about the Confederate flag. I've always been stunned that people still feel the need to display that, and they talk about freedom of speech, but that is...
People have freedom of speech. I mean, there's freedom of speech to call my son what this man called him.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that it's right.
No, of course not. No, I'm aware of that. But that's the argument that is lobbed that, well, it's my right to say to display the Confederate flag. But
sure.
Considering the history and the weight of that image, it's disappointing that people still feel the need to do that.
But I agree with you, John. I'm actually, I lived for the first 8 years of my life in Kentucky and West Virginia, and I have lived in the mountains in Georgia. And so I'm very aware of the culture of surrounding the display of that flag. I think, quite honestly, probably there are a number of people in places like Humboldt County who don't really understand it. They just think it's a cool thing to do, but it isn't.
And so now that you've written the letter and this attention has arrived, what is happening right now? How is your grandson? How is he reacting to this?
Well, he's keeping his head down, and I'll tell you very honestly, I think he just assumed that his grandfather didn't speak up. You know, it's very embarrassing to him to be humiliated like that in front of a crowd of people, and to have nobody do anything about it. You know, his coaches, again, quite appropriately, have coached these kids. If stuff like this happens, don't let it get to you. Don't let it take you out of your game. You need to focus. You need to move on. And that's a message that, you know, I've communicated to him. His mother's communicated to him. His coaches have communicated to him. But it's by the same token, I felt as a responsible adult and a responsible grandparent, I needed to at least make a statement that this is wrong, and it really can't be brushed off as, golly gee, this is just good fun at a football game, taunting the other players.
But again, it's important to state that they are saying that is those that were in that area that it didn't happen, and it's frustrating because I'll never really know.
Well, John, I mean, you can. What you have to do in a situation like that, which is what I do every day at my job, you have to look at the facts. You have to analyze the facts. You have to consider the source, and you have to decide what is more likely true than not. And I think it's a pretty compelling case that what my grandson said, words to those effect, were said to him. So, as I say, I was certain when I wrote the letter that it was said, and I'm even more certain now after the feedback I've gotten from the community and after listening to Mr. Martin.
So what should happen now, as far as you're concerned?
Well, I certainly one thing that ought to happen is that folks in that community ought to make clear that, number one, they ought to get those folks off the sideline of that high school football games. I've never seen anything like that at any other high school football I've been to, and I've been to a lot of them. Number two, folks, fans of Ferndale High School, which has a fine program and run by a fine man, should act like responsible adults and role models rather than taunting teenagers during a football game. There's no place for that anywhere. Other fans, friends, and neighbors of people who behave like that shouldn't just say, "Well, it wasn't me." They should call them out and say, "You can't behave like that." And one hopes that the people, if they do cross the line, if they lose their heads, would say, as you pointed out, "I'm really sorry. I went over the line. It was my mistake." And stand up and admit it rather than dissemble and try to blame a teenager and call him a hothead and a liar. I think that from the school's point of view, they ought to, as I say, make sure those fans get off the stand. I think they should have a zero tolerance policy for their fans that should be posted and announced at games, that if you're taunting the other players, you're going to be gone and you're not going to come back for a while. And I think the community should take this as an educational opportunity to say that, again, we have an interest in our community. We have an interest in its image, and we don't want this sort of thing to happen. We don't want this to be the sort of thing that how people see Ferndale. I will say, given the people who have called me, I've not reached out. I've not sought publicity on this, but I've had a lot of contact from people in that community, and I know there are a lot of good people in Ferndale, and that there is a dialogue going on. I think it should continue. And I don't think it should be, did not say these things. I'm certain they happen, but Ferndale needs to look at the issue and decide that it's not going to have this image in the future.
So, just out of curiosity, what is your opinion of Ferndale? I mean, how will you explain this to friends of yours?
I would explain to friends of mine is that Ferndale seems like first, it's a beautiful town. It was the first time I was there, and I liked it very much. As I mentioned to you, I've lived in small towns, and I thought Ferndale was wonderful. People were very nice to me, an older white man. So I think there's a lot to be said for that community. I think there are a lot of very, very good people in Ferndale. I think there plainly is an element in Ferndale that brings shame to the town, that behaves badly, and that the folks in Ferndale, rather than say it wasn't me or ignore it, ought to just continue the sort of discussion they have and making clear that this is not the image we want for Ferndale. I don't have any grudge for Ferndale as a town or as a whole.
And I've met racists in the past here in Ferndale and just in Humboldt County and elsewhere. I've lived, I grew up in New Jersey and I lived down in Los Angeles and I spent some time in Pennsylvania and met some racists there too.
Sure.
It's terrible. It sounds completely naive to say that I don't know really how to deal with that, but I honestly don't. In your opinion, are those people horribly damaged for the rest of their lives? Can they cure that problem? Which, again, sounds ridiculous to ask, but I don't really even know how to sort of help a racist.
I've lived in, as I say, a small town. So when I lived in Georgia, a fellow I went fishing with used to make racial jokes. I told him it was not okay, and I didn't laugh at his jokes, and he stopped. He wouldn't make those jokes anymore. He was a fine man, and a good friend of mine. I do think if people around them, if people in the community will say this is not okay, you can't behave that way. I think people will, at the very least, modify their behavior. Whether you can modify their hearts, I don't know.
Can you call someone who's racist or making racist jokes a fine man?
This guy was a fine man.
Okay.
I could tell you, he took care of his family. He was a good guy. He contributed to the community. I don't know Mr. Martin, and he may well be a similar sort of personality. This fellow I knew had this problem, and I made clear that wasn't acceptable. But you can't change what's in people's hearts. But if they behave appropriately, I think that's all you can expect.
And does this end for you today, or what are your plans now?
I certainly have no plans. I keep getting calls from folks. I got a call from another newspaper yesterday, and I will talk to them because I don't want anyone to think that I'm afraid to talk about this or want to avoid the subject.
Who called you?
It was a gentleman from a Eureka paper.
The Times Standard?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I imagine they're looking into it, doing a story, something like that. So, I don't intend to make a crusade out of it, but I have made the statement. I'm making the statement again in response to what Mr. Martin said yesterday. And if folks call me, I'll talk to them.
Thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you, John.
And if anything happens, would you get a hold of me?
Sure.
Okay.
I will send you an email.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Take care.
That is Stephen Walters. He is a lawyer down in the Bay Area. He was based in, he's based in San Francisco. He was down in San Francisco this morning. You can read more about this through the LostCoastOutpost.com. And apparently, shortly in the Times Standard, perhaps. But also, Caroline Titus of the Fernell Enterprise, she is also covering it. And it's terrible. I, again, don't know what really happened, but of course there is a chance that this racist remark was lobbed at a player from McClyman's High School. And I hope that's not true, but if it's true, it's terrible, and I'm deeply sorry that it happened, if in fact it did happen. And again, you can read more through the Lost Coast Outpost.com.